وإلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره قد جاءتكم بينة من ربكم فأوفوا الكيل والميزان ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
And to Midian, we sent forth their brother Shu'aib, peace be upon him. He exhorted them, O my people, serve Allah. You have no God but Him. Indeed, a clear proof has come to you from your Lord. So give just weight and measure and diminish not to men their things and make no mischief on the earth after it has been set in good order. That is to your own good, if you truly believe. And to Midian, the territory of Midian lay to the northwest of Hijaz and south of Palestine on the coast of the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba, and the part of the territory stretched to the northern border of the Sinai Peninsula. The Midianites and their towns were situated at the crossroads of the trade routes from Yemen through Mecca and Yanbu to Syria along the Red Sea coast and from Iraq to Egypt. Midian was therefore quite well known to the Arabs. In fact, it persisted in their memory long after its destruction, for the Arab trade caravans en route to Syria and Egypt passed through territories which were full of the ruins of their monuments. Another point worth noting about the people of Midian is that they were reckoned to be descendants of Midian, a son of the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, born of his third wife, Keturah. According to a custom of the time, persons who attached themselves to a notable family were gradually counted as members of that family, as the descendants of that family's ancestor. It is for this reason that a large majority of Arabs were called the descendants of Ismail, peace be upon him. Likewise, those who embraced faith at the hands of Yaqub's sons bore the general name, the people of Israel. Now, since the inhabitants of Midian owed allegiance to Midian, son of Abraham, peace be upon him, they were referred to as the descendants of Midian, and their territory was called Midian. In view of this, it should not be thought that the prophet Shu'aib, peace be upon him, invited them for the first time to follow divine guidance. At the time of the advent of Shu'aib, peace be upon him, their state was no different from that of the Israelites at the time of the advent of Moses, peace be upon him. They too were originally a Muslim people who had subsequently moved far away from Islam. For 6 to 7 centuries, they lived amongst a people who were steeped in polytheism and moral corruption. And this led to their contamination with polytheism and moral corruption. Despite their deviation and corruption, however, they claimed to be the followers of the true faith and were proud of their religious identification.
So give just weight and measure and diminish not to people their things.
This shows that the people of Midian suffered from two major ailments, polytheism and dishonesty in business. Shu'aib, peace be upon him, devoted his efforts to purging them of those evils.
And make no mischief on the earth after it has been set in good order.
The import of this statement has been explained earlier in notes 44 to 5 above. In his exhortations to his people, Shu'aib, peace be upon him, emphasized that they should not allow the order of life, established by the previous prophets on the foundations of true faith and sound morals, to be corrupted by false beliefs and moral depravity.
If you do truly believe.
This clearly shows that the people concerned claim to be believers, as we had already pointed out. In fact, they were originally Muslims who had drifted away from Islam, who had become enmeshed in a range of evils. They not only professed to be believers, but took great pride in being so. Shu'aib, peace be upon him, made this fact the starting point of his preaching. He told them, if they indeed were believers, they should live up to that fact. They should consider their salvation to lie in practicing goodness and virtue, honesty and integrity, and they should distinguish between good and evil on the basis of the standards followed by righteous people rather than of those who believe neither in God nor in the hereafter.
ولا تقعدوا بكل صراط توعدون وتصدون عن سبيل الله من آمن به وتبغونها عوجا واذكروا إذ كنتم قليلا فكثركم وانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المفسدين.
And do not lie in ambush by every path of life, seeking to overawe or to hinder those who believe from the path of Allah, nor seek to make the path crooked. Remember how you were once a few, and then He multiplied you. And keep in mind what was the end of the mischief makers.
وَإِنْ كَانَ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ آمَنُوا بِالَّذِي أُرْسِلْتُ بِهِ وَطَائِفَةٌ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا فَاصْبِرُوا حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَنَا وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ.
And if there are some among you who believe in the message that I bear, while some do not believe, have patience till Allah should judge between us. He is the best of those who judge.
قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه لنخرجنك يا شعيب والذين آمنوا معك من قريتنا أو لتعودن في ملتنا قال أولو كنا كارهين.
The haughty elders of his people said, O Shu'aib, peace be upon him, we shall certainly banish you and your companions in faith from our town, or else you shall return to our faith. Shu'aib said, peace be upon him, what, even though we abhor your faith?
قَدْ افْتَرَيْنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا إِنْ عُدْنَا فِي مِلَّتِكُمْ بَعْدَ إِذْ نَجَّانَا اللَّهُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَنْ نَعُودَ فِيهَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّنَا وَسِعَ رَبُّنَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ.
If we return to your faith after Allah has delivered us from it, we would be fabricating a lie against Allah. Nor can we return to it again unless it be by the will of Allah, our Lord. Our Lord has knowledge of all things, and in Allah we put our trust. Our Lord, judge rightly between us and our people, for you are the best of those who judge. Nor can we return to it again unless it be by the will of Allah, our Lord. This phrase signifies substantively what is meant by the commonly used Islamic formula, Insha'Allah, if Allah so wills. Its meaning is evident from Al-Kahf 18:23-4, in which the believers are directed not to make definitive statements about what they will do without making such actions contingent on God's will. This is understandable since a believer firmly believes in God's power and is ever conscious that his destiny is inalienably tied to God's will. It is impossible for such a person to make foolish statements about what he will do and what he will not do. He is bound to make it clear that he will accomplish what he intends only if God so wills.
وقال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه لئن اتبعتم شعيبا إنكم إذا لخاسرون.
The elders of his people who disbelieved said, should you follow Shu'aib, peace be upon him, you will be utter losers.
You will be utter losers.
One should not pass cursorily over this short sentence. Instead, one must reflect upon it.
What the leaders of Midian in effect told their people was that Shu'aib's, peace be upon him, exhortations to practice honesty and righteousness and to strictly adhere to moral values would spell their disaster. They implied that they could not succeed in the business carried on by the people of Midian if they were totally honest and straightforward in their dealings. Were they to let trading caravans pass by unmolested, they would lose all the advantages of being located at the crossroads of the major trade routes and by their proximity to the civilized and prosperous countries such as Egypt and Iraq. Also, if they were to become peaceful and to cease their attacks upon the trade caravans, they would no longer be held in awe by neighboring countries. Such attitudes have not, however, been confined to the tribal chiefs of Shu'aib, peace be upon him. People who stray away from truth, honesty, and righteousness, regardless of their age and clime, have always found in honesty a means of great loss. People of warped mentalities in every age have always believed that trade, politics, and other worldly pursuits can never flourish unless they resort to dishonest and immoral practices. The main objection against the message of truth in all ages has been that the pursuit of truth spells material doom.
فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ
Thereupon, a shocking catastrophe seized them, and they remained prostrate in their dwellings.
الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا شُعَيْبًا كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْا فِيهَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا شُعَيْبًا كَانُوا هُمُ الْخَاسِرِينَ
Those who had charged Shu'aib, peace be upon him, with lying became as though they had never lived there. It is they who became utter losers.
It is they who became utter losers.
The destruction of the people of Midian remained proverbial in Arabia for a long time. As such, the following lines in Psalms are significant. Yea, they conspire with one accord. Against thee they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gibel and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined them. They are the strong arms of the children of Lot. Peace be upon him. Do to them as thou didst to Midian. Psalms 83:5-9. Note also the following statement in Isaiah. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, peace be upon him, to the mighty God. For though your people Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will return. Destruction is decreed, overflowing with righteousness. For the Lord of hosts, will make a full end as decreed in the midst of all the earth. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrians when they smite you with their rod and lift up their staff against you as the Egyptians did. For in a very little while my indignation will come to an end, and my anger will be directed to their destruction. And the Lord of hosts will wield against them a scourge, as when he smote Midian at the rock of Oreb. Isaiah 10:21-6.
فَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَقَدْ أَبْلَغْتُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ فَكَيْفَ آسَى عَلَى قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ
Shu'aib, peace be upon him, then departed from his people and said, O my people, surely I conveyed to you the message of my Lord and gave you sincere advice. How then can I mourn for a people who refuse to accept the truth?
How then can I mourn for a people who refuse to accept the truth?
The stories narrated here have a definite didactic purpose and were narrated with a view to highlighting their relevance to the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. In each of these stories, one of the parties is a prophet who, in respect of his teachings, greatly resembles Muhammad, peace be upon him, in summoning his people to the right way, in admonishing them, in sincerely seeking their welfare. At the other end of the scale in each narrative are the unbelieving nations who greatly resemble the Quraysh in the time of the prophet, peace be upon him, with regard to their disbelief and moral degeneration. By recounting the tragic end of each of these unrighteous nations of the past, the Quraysh are reminded of the moral purpose of these stories. Through the stories, they are told that if, because of their stubbornness, they fail to follow the messenger of God during the term of respite granted to them, they will be subjected to the same destruction which befell those past nations who persisted in the wrongdoing and error.